Chapter 21, Epilogue, Appearance by the Lake, Peter's Love, the Beloved Disciple. Verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, We will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. One has the sense that the gospel did already finish in John chapter 20, verse 31. This chapter reads like a postscriptum, something that was added later and was attached to the original gospel, something that was a common practice. However, unlike the story of the woman caught in adultery, there is no evidence that the gospel was ever in circulation without chapter 21. We're not told how much time had passed. This is in sharp contrast to the reference to the eighth day in the previous post-resurrection appearance. These same disciples were by the Sea of Galilee when Jesus again wonderfully surprised them. Verse 4. Just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, Children, do you have any fish? They answered him, No. It was already becoming light. Jesus, standing on the shore, called out to them and called them, Children. They may have considered it strange that someone as young as Jesus would refer to them, not as brothers, but as children. Verse 6. He said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. When they reluctantly cast their nets to the other side of the boat, no doubt they wondered why they were listening to what a complete stranger was telling them to do. Taking all the nets and moving them from one side to another was not an easy task, and required an effort on the part of these apostolic fishermen. When they did, the boat almost capsized because of the amount of fish they caught. Verse 7. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, It is the Lord! When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The story is very real, not only because it gives us incredible detail, but also because the details it gives us is true to life. When people are excessively excited about something, they do things that make no sense. Peter, in his excitement, jumped into the water, but strangely enough, he got dressed first. There are all kinds of possible explanations that can be presented here, from the common practice of the fishermen who did not reach the shore, to Peter thinking that he would walk again upon the water. Verse 8. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went abroad and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. The most interesting item of discussion is the odd number of the fish, 153. The fact that John pays attention to this detail should not surprise us. He often does such things. The fact that John remembered how many fish there were is also not surprising. His memories were still vivid when he wrote down the gospel. However, there may be something more going on here. In one of the sections in this book, we discussed how the Gospel of John is intricately designed, including the idea of a complex literary structure called chiasm. It is possible that we have here an early example of what will later become known as gematria. The basic idea of gematria is to take a word and to determine its numeric value according to, and in this case, the Hebraic numeric value system. Once the value of any given word is assessed, it is then matched with another word or phrase with the same numeric value that otherwise seems unconnected. A prominent New Testament scholar, Richard Bauckham, stated in his summary of his article on this topic, "An important clue indicating the overall unity of the Gospel of John, including chapter 21, is often overlooked. This is the numeric value of 153 fish caught by the disciples according to 21:11, which represents the mathematical triangle of 17. 17 multiplied by 3 by 3, 153. The key text for interpreting the passage is Ezekiel 47:10, prophesying streams of living water flowing from the temple in the last days to make the Dead Sea fresh and full of fish. These symbolize numerically the children of God who receive life through believing in the signs given by Jesus, which are enumerated in the gospel. A complex but consistent numerical pattern, or gematria, can be demonstrated to underpin the structure and thematic of the whole gospel, particularly linking the prologue with the epilogue, which is expressed in the number 153. Had we not seen abundant evidence that the Gospel of John was composed against the backdrop of the book of Ezekiel, we might have been justified in ignoring this suggestion. But since this is not the case, we must at least consider it in future studies by now simply making a reference to it. Among several other interesting possibilities, I find the following one the most intriguing. It fits nearly perfectly with my reading of the Gospel of John in its historic Israelite, northern, and southern reunification context, especially in the light of the emphasis the idea of the sonship of God receives in both the Gospel of John and his letters. The Hebrew phrase for English sons of God, which would be shared by both Samaritan and Judean Israelites, is Bnei Elohim. If we calculate the numeric value of each letter, we would get exactly 153. Here it is. Bet, 2. Nun, 50. Yud, 10. Hey, 5. Aleph, 1. Lamed, 30. Hey, 5. Yud, 10. Mem, 40. 153. A word of caution should be in place here. I think we should be careful in using gematria in our interpretation. Notice I did not say we should avoid it, but we should use it sparingly and very carefully, never placing undue emphasis upon it. Even though gematria comes across as an exact science, the beauty of mathematics is that the numbers can indeed be broken up and added up a great number of different ways. As one of my mentors once put it, when you have a hammer in your hand, everything begins to look like a nail. Verse 11b. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. What can be safely assumed here is that Jesus did not look exactly as he had previously. As a matter of fact, this kind of question, "Who are you?" may cause us to doubt our assumption that physically Jesus could be recognized at all. This may explain why Mary thought he was a gardener and why Jesus had to show them the wounds from the nails and the spear. One would think just seeing Jesus alive would have been sufficient. The reference to the third post-resurrection appearance in verse 14 is once again set in the context of a court scene and is presented as the third and last set of evidence that Jesus indeed rose from the dead. Verse 15, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Contrary to popular opinion about two different words for love that are used here, it has been conclusively shown that the two words are used interchangeably throughout the New Testament. Jesus' question about more than these refers to Peter's early statement about his full loyalty to Jesus in comparison with the zeal of other disciples. After three denials, Jesus receives three affirmations of Peter's love and willingness to be a good shepherd. Jesus entrusts Peter with shepherding the flock of Israel, just as he does with the other disciples he leaves behind. Verse 18. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, Follow me. This seems to be a prediction by Jesus of Peter's death. In 2 Peter 1, 12-14, Peter wrote the following, So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that, after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Another important and interesting thing here is the progression of Peter's faith. From the three denials to the three affirmations of faith, and now this discouraging prophecy after which Jesus says, Follow me. Perhaps this is his final test of faith. Will he still agree to follow, knowing in part what is ahead of him? Verse 20. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, Lord, who is that that's going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, If it is my will, then he will remain until I come. What is that to you? You follow me. So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not going to die. But if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Apparently, in the aftermath of the writing of the Gospel of John, chapters 1 to 20, believers began to elevate the status of the beloved disciple. So in this epilogue, additional material that had been omitted from the earlier story was included. Peter posed a question to Jesus regarding the disciple whom Jesus loved. Jesus then challenged Peter that it was not his business to be concerned about any special relationships that Jesus had with the beloved disciple. Peter needed to simply follow the Lord. The clarification of verse 23 is surely a response to misunderstanding among the first century followers of Jesus that was probably about the timing of Jesus' return. Jesus did not promise the beloved disciple would see the return of Jesus. Instead, he virtually told Peter to mind his own business. Verse 24. This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things, who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Verse 24 is likely the sealing testimony of the fact discussed above. that someone close to the beloved disciple wrote the last section of the gospel. This community witness, the we, is both acknowledging the author of the gospel as an authentic witness and the truthfulness of the addendum that followed chapters 1 to 20. Verse 25. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. This ending has an intentional similarity to the first ending of the gospel, where the beloved disciple stated, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.